2014 was quite the year for the world's automakers, full of good news and some very, very bad news. Michelle Krebs is Director of Automotive Relations with the Auto Trader Group, and Tracy Samilton is Michigan Radio's auto reporter. Great to have you both here.
Thank you for having me.
And happy to be here.
Let's start with recalls. We knew that we were at 56 million vehicles recalled in this country in October, and that was before Takata. So we're like pushing 60 million. Michelle, give us a little context. If we're talking something like 60 million recalls, how does that compare with the number of cars and trucks that we bought in this country in 2014?
Well, it's a lot more. It's almost three times more, depending on where we come in. It looks like this year we'll probably sell 16.5 million new cars. So it's a lot of recalls.
All-time high.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and I can tell you, I've talked to dealers who are the ones having to do the work. They are just beyond, you know, stressed. They are so slammed with the work. Long, long waits for some people to get their cars fixed. And then people who just have regular maintenance, they're having trouble getting them in. It's a real mess at some of these dealerships. They are really under a lot of pressure.
And they don't always have the fixes or the parts. For example, the latest recall with the Takata airbags, we aren't really sure what's causing that problem. There were theories before, but now that's being looked at by all the automakers teaming together. And, you know, some of the fixes just aren't ready for dealers yet.
Well, in fact, let me ask you, either one of you, if I'm let's say you're driving that car that you know has one of those affected Takata airbags, would you park it, which is certainly not feasible for most people? They need their vehicle. Do you show up demanding a fix? Is there a fix?
There isn't going to be for a couple of years for most people, for at least 2 years, if just Takata is the company that's making these airbags. And, you know, the risk is tiny. All right, the risk is truly tiny, but at the same time, it's a terrifying scenario.
If you're the unlucky person, even if it is a tiny risk, it is. It's pretty horrifying. Well, we can't talk about 2014 without talking about GM's ignition gate, as it was called, and they're confirming at least 42 people have died, 58 hurt in crashes related to the defective ignition switches. Recall cost hopping $400 million, yet Tracy, sales are outstanding for GM. So what gives?
You know, people are giving General Motors and the new CEO, Mary Barra, who's been out in front of this situation, I think people are saying the company is trying to do the right thing. That has to be it. They're not being punished, as far as I can see, in terms of the sales.
The other thing that goes with that is, if this is also the year of the recalls on the downsize, the upside, especially for Detroit automakers, is this is the year of the truck again. We are just seeing booming pickup truck and sport utility sales, and General Motors has been a huge beneficiary of that boom.
I got to wonder, with white-hot light of bad publicity that GM got, how much of that has driven subsequent recalls from everybody? Would we have seen as many recalls, I guess I'm wondering, without ignition gate, Tracy?
Yeah, I think it was probably a big driver. Nobody wants to be the next CEO in the hot seat in Congress. Nobody wants to be there. That was painful to watch. It was certainly probably more painful to be Mary Barra than watch her go through that, but nobody wants to be there.
And we saw the same thing happen with the Toyota recalls back in 2009, 2010, everybody right afterwards and during that they were doing recalls right and left, not as many as now, but, you know, they did exactly for what, as Tracy points out, they do not want to be accused by the government of dragging their feet or knowing something a long time ago that they didn't address. So, yes, everybody's very quick on the trigger to do a recall.
Michelle, the new guard at GM and Ford, certainly, as you just referred to, there was nothing, I think, more excruciating to watch than Mary Barra. How do you rate how she's done?
Well, I think she's done very well. Certainly the people affected by the faulty ignition switches don't think so. But I thought she did as well as could be expected. I thought she did well in front of Congress. I think when she was at her very best was when we saw her, and Tracy was there, we saw her in front of the employees at a town hall meeting. We got to watch it from the video cameras, but she was impassioned about everybody's responsible for safety. She raised the level of what we can be to the employees. I thought it was probably her best speech, but then the public side is not as emotional.
Yeah, and you know, I was particularly struck by her saying, "Look, if you think you have a safety problem, you take it to your supervisor, and you still think it's not being dealt with, I want you to contact me." She's the CEO of one of the largest companies in the world. She says, "You send the email to me," and I think she meant that.
And then Ford got a new CEO. Alan Mulally steps down, and Mark Fields comes in, and profits kind of took a nosebleed. Right
He's certainly not personally responsible for
not
that.
Not at all.
It was just timing. That's a little tough. That's a little tough to have a brand new job, and then you suddenly have to give your investors some bad news about the profits.
And what were behind the profits in that quarter, Michelle?
Well, a deteriorating Europe. Europe's been tough, and in particular, the mess in Russia hurt Ford. And then, you know, South America is not very strong right now either. A lot of different issues, including currency fluctuations. But, Mark Fields, from the start, had big shoes to fill. And, boy, he got it in spades the very next quarter. The other thing is they're in, and we knew this was coming, they're in this very tricky dance of switching from the old Ford F-150 to the new aluminum-bodied F-150 for 2015, and that took down a plant for a long time, and that's their biggest selling vehicle. It's the biggest selling vehicle in the United States, so their profits were hurt as a result of that. Now, if they get through that and that vehicle is successful, then he gets to ride the wave in 2015.
And you touched on this, Tracy, as we talked about GM and the fact that you're looking at, you know, some great sales. But overall for GM, that's not just the case for GM. Looking at, what, $16.5 million for sales this year? That has to be, you know, one of the biggest stories out of 2014.
Yeah, if that's not a full recovery, I don't know what is. And and next year it looks like it's going to be just a little bit more than that, and we might see a drop off after that.
We could hit 17 million next year, which would be phenomenal. And you know, the Detroit automakers have been big beneficiaries. Look at Chrysler. The big story at Chrysler has been that little Jeep Cherokee that has just taken the market by storm. So done very, very well.
Chrysler in general, their sales just every month. We keep, you know, Michelle, you and I have talked a lot about this every month. I'm like, when are they going to stop growing? I mean, they have just regained so much of their market share since the bankruptcy. It's just phenomenal in terms of the customer response to the new vehicles they have.
Where have sales not been as robust? Who might we say would be the losers in the sales picture for 2014, Michelle?
Any car company that sells only cars and doesn't sell trucks and sport utilities.
Small cars.
Volkswagen continued to struggle. Hyundai and Kia, because they don't have a pickup truck, have struggled. And if you didn't have new product. The other ones that have been a big winner have been the luxury car makers. The luxury market is just on fire, and it's phenomenal. We could hit close to 2 million vehicles in the luxury segment, and that doesn't mean just cars. That means it's all fueled mostly by those little luxury sport utilities that are coming onto the market.
So it's cool to enjoy luxury and some conspicuous consumption again.
It's back. It's okay.
And of course, helping all of that along is the fact that as we pull up at the gas pump, we're all smiling. Can't love it enough, and I'm hearing it could go lower, gas prices.
I'm hearing that as well, low through next year. It's not necessarily good news for companies that have big plans for a hybrid vehicle that they want to introduce next year or an electric vehicle. People tend to be pretty sensitive to gas prices when they are thinking about, especially if that car is significantly more expensive than the regular version of the car. You can't make that cost-benefit analysis very much at $2.30 a gallon.
But yeah, you just have to feel, Michelle, for the R&D people and the teams developing these, because you can't just do that at the drop of a hat. And we all know that OPEC could tighten up the supply and prices could jump up again, albeit we're at a lower base. But you know, it takes time to get that electric car out on the market, and then meantime we're all going, no, we want that big sport ute.
Yes, but here's the thing too, that also is a dilemma for the car companies. They have to meet very stringent 2016 fuel economy standards that get only more stringent in 2025. There will be a review of those in 2017, but it's also driven, so they're developing these cars to meet regulations, and the dilemma is, but consumers don't want to buy them.
What's the one thing you're really going to be watching for in the new year? Michelle, go.
Well, I'm going to watch for gas prices, but the other thing we have to watch is interest rates, because one of the reasons the market is so hot is credit has been widely available and it's dirt cheap.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, because it's that is a big, big driver of sales. And right now I could go get a new car and pay, what, 3.5% interest.
What are you going to watch for, Tracy, in the new year?
Well, I'm looking forward to the new Volt. I'm really curious to see what they're going to do to make this car less of a technology showcase and more of an actual car, you know, that people can find pleasure and maybe putting a third person in the back seat instead of the two people crammed in there. So I'm looking forward to that at the Detroit Auto Show, seeing that car.
Tracy Samilton, Michigan Radio's auto reporter, and Michelle Krebs from AutoTrader.com. Always great talking cars with both of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
My pleasure.